Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Welcome to another bonus edition of the Iditapod. I'm your host, Casey Grove. Coming up, we've got an interview with Nicholas Petit, the musher from Girdwood, who has been running at the front of this year's Iditarod, and KNOM's Ben Matheson in Ophir. That was where Nick was taking his 24-hour layover, and Ben caught up with him on Wednesday. I want to give you a little disclaimer here very quickly. I'm laughing a little bit because, again, we got into the dog poop talk. And that comes in about midway through this interview, as it does when you're a reporter out there talking to the mushers as they're doing chores. They're cleaning up after their dogs and cleaning up straw. And, you know, that's something that's on their mind sometimes. It's a good way of knowing a dog's health, frankly. So that comes up again. But for any parents or teachers out there, I assure you, we have listened to all of these episodes and we made sure that nobody said any bad words other than excessively talking about dog feces. Anyway, here is Ben Matheson and Nicholas Petit in Ophir on Wednesday.
So I think you're something like 12 hours into your break now. What's the focus now that you're something like halfway through?
Make sure they don't get stiff. Hey, Shuby, come here. Shuby, come on.
Then just keep them healthy and happy. And if I had 110% dog team, I wouldn't have stopped, but... You know, you can't expect them to be like brand new right now. And they're getting back to good. I mean, they're good, obviously. They made good time here. Shuby, this way.
Are you feeling that they are stiff or?
Oh, just like there's a yearning back there that it's his first dog race ever. So I've been giving him a ride the first part of the run, most of the runs, and then putting him in, and he does good, but, you know, he doesn't know what we're up to, so.
Did you say you had two dogs who were racing for the first time, or is it?
Yeah, there's
one.
Four yearlings, yeah. And two of them have never even been to a dog race at all. Mm-hmm. And for that, I have to credit my buddy Hunter at the kennel, because he did most of the training for them. I ditched him at the kennel, and he told me you should take them. I said, take your word for it. Off we went. So.
How different is training from the style of running and resting and, you know, locations that you do during the big race?
Training is, it's not always the same trail, but it's always the same trail.
Yeah.
It's not, it's the schedule of training is, you know, kind of based on human comfort. Because you got to eat and be a normal human being, too. So a lot of my training includes doing as many races as possible so that they get used to the thing where, you know, we pull in and you got to take your nap, you got to drink your water. So the two yearlings that have been to races, they learn to take care of themselves by doing the shorter races. I can't take a whole team of yearlings and leave all the adults. Mm-hmm. So this things that are easier about racing, you're not hooking them back up and all this stuff that's like, oh boy, okay, I want to go for a 30, 40 mile run. And it takes the same amount of time to prepare as a 80 mile run. And then you put them back where they are, like watch out the turd there. Racing is kind of cool because they're excited about the new trail. Everywhere we go is something they haven't seen at least for a year. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing what they know. Like, there was a change in the trail just at the start of the race. And they know if we take that turn, we're probably doing the Iditarod right now and going to go down Corral Hill. They try to take the turn. We weren't going that way this year for some reason. I'm not sure why. Probably some overflow down there. So they knew what we were up to. They knew we were about to go for the 1,000-mile race. And they didn't hesitate. They were like, we're taking this turn even though it's X'd off and there's people standing there saying we're not going that way. I told them to take a left instead. And they were fine with it. But they know what we're up to when they see that crowd in Willow and stuff, and they're all excited. Oh boy, we're gonna go see all this stuff instead of the same old trail every day.
And for that taking care of themselves, do they know that when they get in checkpoints, what their job is in checkpoints and in terms of hydration and eating and
yeah,
the routine?
The young ones, you know, I took them to races and then they didn't, when we'd pull up, they just kind of like, okay, we're here. So, cool bowl of water, dude, but look at that over there. There's a dog team. Oh, that's weird looking. Oh, there's another dog team coming in. Huh, what's this water for? I don't need it. A couple of days later, they're like, you got any water? So, you know, that's really good to take him and show him this kind of stuff. Like the poop on my hands right now. Awesome.
Not to overanalyze the poop, but how what are you seeing in some of this poop?
80% super solid turd, couple slightly running because they've been eating like wolves since we've been here. They've already eaten like a half a bag of kibble, like a whole bag, you know, and all kinds of meats and fats and stuff. We want them to eat as much as possible right now. Well, I mean, that one's kind of a wet turd. Which one made that one? Was it that one?
Has there been more fat than typical, or is it?
No, just I feed the same stuff all the time.
Yeah,
they're used to it, and I don't wonder how they'll deal with it. So. Yeah. I don't know. You want a solid turd, yeah? This turd here is nice. That's a pretty one.
That is the best one that we've seen so far. And so everyone's wearing coats now. Is that just for when they're resting?
You know, when you exercise and then you cool off and then you're like, oh boy, I need my parka. Same thing, you know, the swimmer gets out of the pool and puts on the parka right away. And so it's to keep them from shivering and developing pneumonia type of problems, which everybody's doing good on that. Boys, we're going around the trees, huh? G, G, hey, G, yep, yep, G, there you go.
G, hey. So, you know, going into McGrath, we think you put together the fastest run to McGrath on the books.
On the books?
Together? It was the earliest McGrath arrival that we found. And I'm not sure exactly how it works with starting order and all that, but yeah. did it feel like you were?
Well, the way I ran the start of this race, it would make sense. And the goal wasn't to be aggressive with it. Oh, Susie. The goal was to rest in places where they would not be disturbed by barking dogs. Susie, come on. Come here, boys. So I went past all the commotion, gave him a rest. And then I went past the next set of commotion, airplanes and nice people that want to talk to you. And then they got a rest. Come on, Shubi, you're going to have to come over here. Come on. I know you got to hop over your turd. There you go. And so that put us up Rainy Pass. We were in and out of Rainy Pass first. And then that put me in a place where stopping in Roan wouldn't make too much sense. And when I got to Tin Creek, it just hadn't been very long. So what else is there? Huh. Well, there's a cabin down the way. So I went to Bear Creek, first time ever. I wasn't too sure if that was the right place. When I took the turn, I didn't think it'd be that far off the trail. I didn't really read the sign when I took the turn. I just saw the sign, the left turn. And we went down that trail and it just seemed like too far. So spun around, went back on the trail. I thought I'd seen that cabin before on the side of the trail for some reason. I'm sure they didn't move it, so.
Sure.
There's another turn to it. When I saw that one, went for that. took him to the cabin. Nobody there. Cabin kind of still warmish. Firewood stocked. Lit a fire. And did 6 hours there. Nice big break to get him good to go down the trail some more. And then Nikolai's just 30 miles from there, so why stop? Keep going. End up in McGrath. Mm-hmm. 4 hour rest. And then from McGrath, what do you do? Go to Tocotno? Probably not. That's 18 miles, so I came up here.
But were you hoping to go any further? You said you stopped.
I might have kept going and camped out maybe 10, 15, 20 miles out of here if, like, everything was tip-top perfect. But there's no vets over there. There's vets here, so if I have a question about something, and so I showed him a couple things, and he helped me deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how do you break up the next, you know, 80 miles to Iditarod, Shagaluk after that?
I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm guessing it's not really my nature after 24 to stop on this next run. So I'm guessing I'm going to just go checkpoint to checkpoint for a bit. And then I really liked how the Yukon River worked out last year. Nobody else did. I thought it was kind of nice. So, there's not that much in Eagle Island. We'll see what the weather's doing. I might do the same thing as I did last year. Kind of find spots where it made sense to camp, you know. Trail gets bad. Have a camp in your sled so you can pull over. Probably improve by the time you get back on the trail.
You guys want to interview us, you have to come find us. So
I'm going to Iditarod next, so hopefully find some people there.
Yeah.
What will you be watching for to gauge your team's ability to, you know, exactly how you put together the next few runs? Like, what's can you tell before you
appetite
before you're on the trail?
Appetite, attitude, and mental health. I mean, if they bark, scream, if they scream and bark every time we leave a checkpoint, we're doing good. And they have been. And typically my team's not really known for being loud on its way out. They're known for being loud on their way in. I've been trying to teach them certain commands that tell them whether or not they should get excited, because we are or are not gonna be in this checkpoint. So I try to communicate with them. And if they hear me tell them that we're not gonna go through some, that we're gonna go through someplace, and they look a little bit unhappy about going through it, then, you know, they're communicating.
So you've got verbal commands to let them know.
Yeah.
That they've got a pretty good idea whether it's.
They basically always know what we're up to, and I don't make up my mind for a good while, and then once I make up my mind on the trail, then I tell them what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And they know what it means. They're mild up. They get, you know, the five-year-olds have done, this is their fourth Iditarod for the five-year-olds. Three-year-olds are on their, there's no three-year-olds. Four-year-olds are on their third Iditarod, and so on and so forth. Everybody's been doing it since they were yearlings. I trained them by racing.
And can you remind me who's in lead?
Right now we have Shuby in lead with Jeffrey, half brothers. They're both from Beamer, and then the dads are Ramey Reddington's boys, Raptor and Bison. Mm-hmm. And every dog here is 50% Beamer, and she's only bred to Bison or Raptor. And then there's some that are inbred from those two sides, so they're still 50% Beamer, but quarter Bison, quarter mm-hmm. Raptor.
And then last question, this is, you know, your biggest chance to recharge yourself. What sort of a recharge do you need for this stage?
Well, with the schedule I ran, actually I'm pretty rested. I'm gonna take naps just like anyone else would, but at no point did I really feel all that tired, except for the time I hit my head on a tree on the way to Nikolai.
Was it hard?
It was a hard tree. Okay. Yeah, it hit me right in the headlamp. And I heard some cracking and popping in my back and my neck, and I was like, oh boy. So I made sure I didn't doze off or nothing, you know, like I made sure I didn't go to sleep for a good while, and that where I did go to sleep, there was people around. And I woke up, so I think I'm okay. I felt cross-eyed for a while.
Well, stay safe, Nick, and we'll see you down the trail.
Thanks. I think that tree got Richie too.
I heard. Thanks for listening to that extended interview with Nicholas Petit in Ophir. That was Ben Matheson with KNOM recording. Please stay tuned for another full episode of the Eidetopod. Thanks for listening.